Thank God for all of you, my Father's children. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Lord God, for last night's slumber. We thank you, God, for this morning's rising. And God, we thank you for an opportunity to come together today to get power from your word. God, I thank you for those that counted it not robbery to dial in on this morning. God, I pray you bless them and replenish their time for them, O God. Father, be with us on this morning. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you on this morning. On this morning, our journeys take us to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Reading just the first few verses of that chapter, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting at the first verse. And on this morning, I like to take this from the NIV version, the New International Version. And in that it reads as follows: Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure: no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And the word of the Lord is blessed. From these five scriptures on this morning, just a simple thought: are you living like an heir? Are you living like an heir? Heir being spelled H-E-I-R. Are you living like an heir? It's interesting, you all, when you meet someone who comes from any sort of lineage that has some sort of substantial, I guess you would say, money behind it. They used to call them blue bloods. If they came from a family that had some sort of stock or bonds or money attached to them, how it is that they would act in difference to how other people would act. I remember growing up and meeting individual in school, actually, whose father owned one of the more successful companies in town. And at that time, we didn't necessarily know that they were different. I think we maybe in the second, third grade, we didn't know that they were quote unquote different because of what their family possessed. But we knew it was something different about them because of how they acted. They dressed differently. And dressed differently, even though I went to Catholic school and we all had to wear the same thing. But of course you could tell, difference in shoes and how they just groomed themselves differently. And then they would talk differently. They didn't talk like they were uppity or anything like that. It was just very different, the way that they talked. And then when we had school days where we didn't have to wear our uniform, they did dress very differently than we did. And somehow, some way, I found out that their parents owned one of the big companies in the city. And as face. We started growing up, and as we started going older in different grades and things like that, you even started seeing them come more and more into a difference. Again, never uppity, never arrogant. It was just a matter of, I know I needed to carry myself in such a way because of who my parents were. And you all, we should be the same way in terms of who our daddy is. We should act a certain way. So oftentimes, you all, we don't know the difference between the person who's in the church and the person who's in the world. We don't hear difference in their speech. We don't hear difference in how they, we don't see a difference in how they act. We don't see a difference in how they dress. We don't see much of a difference at all. But there should be a difference. In Ephesians 5, if you were to actually read this in a different version, verse 1 actually starts out with the word therefore, meaning that this is a carryover from chapter 4, because in chapter 4, starting with verse 17, carrying all the way through to verse 32, and really the way that it's sectioned off, running into Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, from Ephesians 4 and 17 to Ephesians 5 and 2, all of that talks about how the believer should walk, how the believer should live, how the believer should carry themselves. Because just like we tell our children, when, especially when they leave our presence and they go and be with another parent, I don't know about you, but I told my kids, now I taught you how to act. So when you get around them, don't act like you don't have good home training. I remember telling my kids that. Because I knew I taught them when they were around me how they should carry themselves. I taught them how to say please and thank you. I taught them how not to talk loudly and talk quietly. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But the point is, I gave them good home training so that they could tell, oh, you know, this is your child. Well, you know what? I should have been able to tell that because they did X, Y, and Z. You all, our daddy teaches us how to act when we're in front of other people. Our daddy teaches us how to speak when we're in front of other people. Our daddy teaches us how to live when we're in front of other people. And we act like we're just in the world. We act like everybody else we come across. But starting in Ephesians 5, verse 3, through the Apostle Paul in this letter that went to the church in Ephesus, he told them, but there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any type of impurity or greed, because this is improper. If you're God's holy people, this is improper. Says it shouldn't be obscenity, shouldn't be foolish talk, shouldn't be coarse joking. They're out of place for the body of Christ. Is God telling us we can't have a good time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That is not God's intent. But what God's intent is, act like the heirs you are. Act like you got good home training. Act as if you come from a certain lineage. Act as if you are an heir, because that's what takes us to verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person. Greed, let's talk about that for a quick moment. What does he mean by greedy? Does he mean that we shouldn't want better for ourselves? Absolutely not. That is not what he means by that. What he means is selfish. What he means is self-centered. What he means is gaining for self and not caring about anyone else. That's what greedy means. And that has nothing always, that doesn't always have to do with money. That can be with your time. That could be with a kind word. My God. Some of us won't even speak kind words into another. We won't even take time to encourage someone or lift someone up. Why is that? And you all, again, it's simply because we sometimes don't act as if we're heirs to the kingdom. Let me finish out verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You all, it's not a matter of God just wants us to act this way to make him look good. He gave us a very clear directive. If you act this way, that makes you an idolater. And if you are an idolater, that's what disqualifies you for an inheritance. Did you catch that? It's not a matter of being or doing something immoral, doing something impure, or being greedy. If you do it, you did it, it's done. But if it's your life, if you're an immoral person, if you're an impure person, if you're a greedy person, that person is an idolater. And idolaters don't have an inheritance in the kingdom. Did you get that? Idolaters don't have an inheritance. It's not going to get you anywhere near the kingdom. If you act like everybody else, if you don't act like you're an heir, then you won't get the inheritance that an heir would get. Then how do I act as if I'm a part of the kingdom? How do I make sure of it, you all? It's real simple. Don't let the enemy have that kind of stronghold in your life that causes you to be impure, that causes you to have coarse talk, that causes you to have foolish conversation. You all, we're held accountable for every word we say. Every word. It's not a matter of it just flew out of my mouth before I could catch it. If it flew out, you're going to be held accountable for it. Clear and simple. You all, watch the way you talk. Tell people only things that will encourage. Speak into the existence things that will lift up, that will puff up. Set it out in the atmosphere. Don't break God's heart by how you live. Don't break God's heart by how you live. But you all live in such a way that we uplift God with our life and not embarrass God with our life. I don't know how to do that, preacher. Then pick up the Word of God. It's our roadmap on how to live. It's our roadmap on how to do what needs to be done. It's our roadmap, you all. If you don't know how to do it, just like anything else, how do I do this? I find myself Googling a lot. If I don't know how to do something, I Google it. See if I can find it. You don't have to Google how to live. Your roadmap is the word. Use it. Are you living like an heir? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, because your word clearly expresses to us your expectations to us as heirs to the kingdom. God, we can't just live any kind of way. We can't just say anything we want. We can't just live our lives as if you don't exist. God, I pray that today you will prompt our hearts, prompt our spirits, God, whatever changes you desire for us to make. God, that we will make those changes. God, that we would not just look upon this as something else that we need to take out of our lives. But God, I pray we look upon it as something that will enhance our lives. God, you know what we stand in need of. We need your help to make some changes in our life, to change the way we think, to change the way we walk, to change the way we live. Holy Ghost, be our teacher. Be our litmus test. Be our corrector, so that we might walk this life in such a way that is pleasing to God the Father. And let us be an example to the world today of how the world should turn from their wicked ways and live God's way. Help us to be your change agents today is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you. Go out and be the change you desire to see. One person, one divine appointment, one household at a time. God bless you.